Scripture reading is taken from three short passages in the New Testament. The first passage is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 46 to 51. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. The second passage is taken from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 and verse 12. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding, and with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Verse 12. After this, he went out to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. The third passage is taken from John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, this disciple took her to his own home. This is the word of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jackson. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and a blessed Mother's Day to all the mothers. Well, let us begin this day's message, which is entitled Jesus and His Mother, which is also something that we hope to be like a tribute to remember our mothers on this Mother's Day. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray that you will bless this time that we have together, and pray, O Lord, that you let me speak what that you want us to hear, and may you let us hear what you want to speak. Bless this time, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, here in Amokyo Presbyterian Church, we focus on being Christ-like. In fact, the word Christ-like was one of the key points in our vision when we say we want to work towards Christ-likeness. And if our lives are to reflect Christ, and we are supposed to be Christ-like, then it begs the question, how can we be Christ-like also in treating our mothers? How did Jesus Christ treat his mom? And what can we learn about Jesus' response to his mother in his daily life? Now, in this sermon, three instances of when the Bible recorded Jesus and his mother Mary will be looked at. The first passage that I read earlier in Luke was when Jesus was a young boy and he was 12 years old. The second passage that I read in John chapter 2 was Jesus as a young adult when he was about 30 years old. And the final passage that I read in John chapter 19 was when Jesus was at the end of his life, at a cross, crucified at about around 33 years old. Let us begin with the first passage. The first passage is about Jesus and his mother at the temple. Now, as I was saying earlier, at this point of Jesus' life, he was 12 years old. And we know he was 12 years old because it was written in Luke chapter 2, verse 42. And he said that when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to custom. So there was this feast. What is this custom? There was this feast of the Passover in Jerusalem. And this feast was over. So the family was returning home. And it was such that Jesus and his parents were traveling with a large entourage of known family and friends. So much that they were all mingling around. It was no COVID that time. We could all mingle around. And everyone was traveling together from Jerusalem back all the way to their home in Nazareth. And I'm sure his mother and father, Joseph and Mary, were so engrossed with talking to all the friends and family, catching up, how are you, and everything, that as they traveled for a full day, the Bible tells us, without noticing that Jesus wasn't with them. Probably because there must be many cousins or children, you know, they will all be playing around, Jesus must be with the kids, you know, or maybe with an uncle or a friend. And so after one full day, when they settled down, they were going to settle down and they realized that, hey, Jesus isn't here. And they went through the entire entourage, but they couldn't find Jesus anywhere. And finally, the parents realized that maybe Jesus was still in Jerusalem. And so they finally quickly turned back to Jerusalem and went back there to search. Now, they traveled one full day from Jerusalem. Traveling back should take one day, right? Maybe this time they run half a day, I don't know. Okay, it takes about another day or so. But then the Bible tells us that when they were in Jerusalem, they searched for 3 days for Jesus. So imagine how many days that was altogether. At least 3 plus 1, at least 4 days. I don't know, the mothers among us, how long after you lose a child would you panic? I know when I was a little boy, there was once I was holding my mother's hand and went going to the market with her, and then suddenly there was this throng of crowd coming towards us, and let go of the hand of my mom, and whoom, where's mom? And there was only like 5 seconds, and I couldn't find mom, and I began to cry and wail, and I was a little boy then, I can remember, and uncle came and hold my hand and said, why is it boy, you know, where? I'll help you find your mom, okay? And then my mom came from the crowd, and I was panicking so much. And today, as a parent myself, if I'm to see my daughter missing, all right, I think we all have our different threshold, right? For me, I'm quite cool. When I was walking with my mom and my daughter, my mom would say, oh, yo, she ran so far. You want to catch her or not? I'll say, don't worry, mom, I can still see her. That's fine. But when she turned the corner, that's when I cannot see her anymore. Then I'll say, oh, no more eye contact. What do I do? I'll panic a little, and I'll hasten my pace, or I'll run up around the corner. But for Joseph and Mary, could you imagine? It wasn't just around a corner. It wasn't just a distance. It was like 4 days out of sight. How much their hearts would be so filled with anxiety. And so Mary's response in Luke chapter 2, verse 48 was very justified. It says that when his parents saw him, they were astonished because then they saw that Jesus was all okay. They must be thinking, oh, my child, my poor child has not been eating for days. He must be so hungry and impoverished and scared alone. But there he was sitting in the temple, talking to the teachers, asking questions about God and the law. And he was also sharing with them his thoughts, a 12-year-old boy. But they were astonished indeed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Could you feel the stress of the mother in those words? And Jesus' reply was short, and it seemed curt. But this has sparked off an understanding regarding our Lord Jesus, even at 12 years old, that he was one who placed God first as priority in his life, above and beyond his own earthly parents. He placed the Heavenly Father first before his own earthly parents. Yes, it is important for Jesus to have this first priority to God. And he knew that it wasn't his time yet to serve the Father in such a manner like the teachers of the law in the temple full time. He knew that he was a child, but he knew that he had to have the priority with God first. And so with the priority with God exemplified even to his parents, he knew that as a child, he would still have responsibilities to his earthly parents. And so, although he said that in verse 49, that why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I am in my Father's house? And in another version, it says that, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? In other words, he must do the work of God. And so he replied after that in verse 51, saying, or rather, he didn't say anything, but he went down with his parents and he came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And he says that his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Now, I make the words great because I see that's very important here, that although Jesus' words seem short and curt in his reply to his mom, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? But you can see right from here that Jesus was still submissive to his parents, especially in this case to his mom's reply. This proved that Jesus' initial response wasn't a rude or curt reply, but an honest explanation of his true priority and mission, that Jesus was to serve God first. But yes, as a child, he would still be submissive to his parents. And although in verse 50 says the parents did not understand what the child was saying, but his mother was still treasuring all these points in her heart anyway. Don't forget, the mother was visited by an angel before, even before she was married to Joseph, and was told that this boy would be someone very different and special. And in fact, her cousin Elizabeth told her the same thing. And when he was an infant, she went to the temple, and the prophet Anna and Simeon say the same thing about Jesus. So Mary, the mother, was collecting all of these points and treasuring and storing them in her heart to see her boy grow to become the man that he would be, someone who will glorify the Lord. What can we learn from this? We can see that even though Jesus put God first, he was submissive to his earthly parents. Indeed, even for us, our parents are our earthly authority given by God to care for us. So even though we may have our own priorities in life, we will have to put God first especially. But let us not forget Jesus' example, that at the end of the day, as a child, he would still submit to his parents. And I could remember when I was young, a new young Christian, and I came to know the Lord. I was so passionate about ministries and the work of the Lord, and I want to be involved every day. I remember that in school, after school, I did not want to go home. I hang out at this chaplain's office at Presbyterian High School, and I would be chatting with people as they come in, and we would be telling people about Jesus and talking and finding out more, and we would be playing guitar and worshiping. And then I remember the youth pastor would invite me to say, come anytime and help out with Presbyterian High School. And I came after polytechnic classes, even when after that, I move on to national service, and even as a young adult, I remember after work or whenever I'm free, came down, help out with PHS Athletics Club, you know, running with them, bringing the kids to fish farms. Naturally, in my excitement and away from home, I could be spending like 4 or 5 days a week away from home. I would be just to go home for dinner. You know, my mom would start to say things. You guys are like, you're treating the home like a hotel, she would say. Like, you're spending too much time in church. And remember, this point is that during that time, as much as I was enthusiastic being a Christian, my mom was not yet a believer back then. And so my mom would threaten to throw my Bible away. And then she would say things like, you will follow Jesus only after I die. And I realized with all this severity of her words that, hey, I am trying to honor God or chase after God, but am I honoring my parents? And I was glad that I have a good pastors and even friends, fellow friends in church who tell me, hey, then maybe we should spend some time at your mom's place. Huh? Why don't we just come so your mom can see us as well? I was glad that my cell groups, my friends who come to my house, they hang out, and they get to see that, hey, I have a wonderful mother, and my mother will also be assured to know that I was in good hands. So as much as we want to put priority of God first, Jesus, as a child, 12 years old, going to become a youth teenager in the next year, he would still submit to his mom. And so can we. And so should we. Let's move on to the second passage or story about Jesus and his mother at the wedding. Now this time about another 18 years have passed by, and Jesus is no longer a child. This time he was 30 years old, he has grown as a man. In fact, 30 years old in today's context is still considered a young adult, right? He was working as a carpenter, as his father Joseph did. And there was no longer any mention of his father Joseph from here on, which is interesting. So most scholars believe that Joseph had passed away, and now Mary, his mother, was now a widow. Now Jesus was with his mother at a wedding, you say, and the mother noted that they had run out of wine. So many again initially thought that Jesus' response to his mother was curt or crude or rude, but this was not so. We read in the passage that says that verse 4, after Jesus telling, after Mary telling Jesus they have no more wine, Jesus responds in verse 4, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. But is this a rude reply? Now, the word woman, when Jesus used to address his mother, was actually a term of respect in the Aramaic language that Jesus and his mother was speaking in. In fact, it was a normal, polite form of address. Jesus wasn't like calling his mother something that she wasn't. If he did, let's say for example, he said something, oh, you annoying woman, that would be rude. We've added this condescending adjective or something like, you irritating person. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus just called his mother woman, which was what she was. And in their context, it was a term of respect. It's like if I see an old man on the street and I call him, hey, Ape! Hello, Ape. It's okay because he is an old man, you know? So just calling him as what he is. So in this case, in Jesus' context, when they address a lady as woman, that is actually no disrespect. And you can also see that this is no disrespect and not rude, because you can see Jesus' mother's response after that. In verse 5, it says, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do you see the mother getting defensive and saying, oh, you boy, how could you say such things to me? Or, hey, you naughty. But the mother didn't say anything. In fact, the mother seemed very confident to tell the servants, do whatever he tells you. It seems to show from here that Jesus' response was not something curt or rude at all. But Jesus mentioned this. He said, my hour has not yet come. What does that mean? When Jesus said that my hour has not yet come, it meant that Jesus was not to reveal who he was at this point of time, to go from this world to die on the cross. Because later on in John chapter 7 verse 6, Jesus would say the same thing to his brothers when his brothers was telling him, saying, hey, you want to show people who you are? Why don't you go out publicly and do this and that? You know, his brothers was challenging him that. In fact, the brothers did not believe who he was in John chapter 7 verse 5. And Jesus also said the same thing. My hour has not yet come. What Jesus meant is not my time to go up to the cross to reveal myself as the Son of God and to die on the cross as yet. My time or my hour has not yet come. But 2 points here they gather. First of all, Mary asked Jesus about they have no more wine. Why did Mary do that? Was she expecting Jesus to, hey, here, $10, go buy more wine for them, huh? Was Mary doing that? Was she expecting Jesus to go buy more wine to settle that? No. It meant that Mary knew about her son and knew that Jesus could do something that was out of the natural. She must have witnessed many times Jesus performing miracles and signs before privately in their lives. Don't forget, Mary had encountered angels and prophets to tell her who the son was. So under those private conditions, probably Mary knew that Jesus could do this. And so she asked for his help. Can you help here? And Jesus said, my time has not come. But yet, here in this second point, we saw that Jesus still listened to his mother. And we knew what happened after that. Because Jesus revealed himself by performing his very first recorded miracle or sign by turning water into wine. What can we learn from this? We learned that Jesus was still someone who honored his mother by listening to her words. When she asked for help and requested him to come in, he would still do it. His hour was not there yet to die on the cross for all our sins, but he saw that he could do what he did by turning water into wine. Now, one point to note was that Jesus had already begun his ministry at this point of time, because in verse 2, it says that Jesus was at his wedding with his disciples. He wasn't just there as a boy to the mother. He was already serving in ministry. And he knew from here, it was time for him to conduct this first miracle that people would know more about himself and about God. It was not his time to die on the cross, but it was still time to listen to his mother and to point to others who God was. Jesus listened to his mother. How many of us would tell our mother to, please leave me alone, don't disturb me. Or even sometimes in ministry we say, hey, mother, I need to, you know, I'm a cell group leader, you know, I need to take care of my sheep, you know. Don't come disturb, I'm trying to do this. No, it's like, sometimes it's like, it's an embarrassment, you know, if our sheep or our charges will see us with my mom, you know. I remember that as a youth leader, so yeah, my mom come along, yeah, so embarrassing, huh? Don't know what to say, then, my youths are looking to me, then, my mom, But no, for Jesus, he did not do that. He allowed his disciples to be there with his mom as well. In fact, I would say that your sheep would see how you are living out your life of honoring your parents, and they will be inspired to do the same as Jesus did. So it is okay for us to bring introduce our mother, our parents, even to our ministries that we are serving in. In fact, in verse 12, which I also highlighted in red, after this entire wedding at Cana, he went out to Capernaum and he's with his disciples. But hey, beside his disciples, his mother and his brothers were there with him. And they stayed there for a few days. You see that Jesus was still traveling with his mother and spending time with his mother, not just working the ministry. Jesus spending time with his mother is part of the ministry. And if it is even more so, like in my earlier example of my own life, when my mother was not yet a Christian, by allowing her to know the ministry, why I serve, who I serve with, then my mother would come to know the Lord whom we serve, who I serve. And beside myself, let me show you another example. You see, there's two elderly couple here in this picture with a lot of young people. The man who's sitting in front, and that is actually Pastor Siu Kim's father. And the lady behind the more elderly one is Pastor Siu Kim's mother. And you know where they were? They were in Cambodia. They went to Cambodia to visit Pastor Siu Kim when she was there serving as a missionary. It's just interesting that when Pastor Siu Kim was there serving in Cambodian missions, she invited her parents to come along. There was no shame or no embarrassment. Come, she was reaching out to the young people, and you can see them all in the bus, and she got her parents to come along as well as part of the ministry. In fact, here in this next picture, you will see that there, in the one in green with the back facing us, that's Pastor Siu Kim teaching her class in Cambodia, teaching them English. And you can see her father sitting on the left side. You see that she invited her father, her mother, to be part of her ministries as they were visiting students in Barai, and they were teaching the students and reaching out to them. She invited her parents to come along. Doesn't that remind us of how Jesus was doing the same at a wedding in Cana with his mom, and also traveling with his mom and his disciples? You know, it doesn't have to be like in missions the way the Pastor Siu Kim did, but serving alongside with our mothers, especially those of us who are worshiping here together with our mothers, is such a privilege and of a ministry, isn't it? That we can be serving alongside with our mothers and bring glory to Christ together, and also introducing those mothers who may not have known the Lord to come and witness what that you are doing. For that was what that Jesus did. Let us move on to the third passage, when Jesus and his mother at the cross. Here Jesus was at the cross at the end of his ministry and his earthly life. And there we could see that one of the famous words that Jesus said when he was on the cross was, he looked here in verse 26 of John chapter 19. He saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby. And this disciple whom he loved was none other than John. And so he saw his mother Mary and the disciple John, and he said to his mother, "Woman," here again, woman, no disrespect, it's actually a term of respect. "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Now the word "behold" is, I hope I pronounced correctly, but it's "ido" in Greek. And this word "ido" appeared about 2,400 times in the Bible. It means to look, to see. In fact, it's in an imperative, which means like, look here, look, now look. And the word "behold" itself, in the English term, it was taken from an old Germanic language that says "behalden," which is "behold." It slowly become English "behold." And "behalden" means also to maintain and retain. It's not just look and forget and walk away, but it's a look and maintain and retain and consistently look at this. In other words, to fix your eyes upon, to look with attention and to observe with care, and look upon an object to direct or fix our mind upon it. In other words, Jesus was saying, "Woman, look with all intensity, this is now your son. It is to look in the eyes with a sense of awe and amazement. You know, it's like in the circus, right? Like in the circus, there's a drumbeat that goes, and then the host or the MC will come and says, "All right, for our next act, behold the amazing, the incredible muscle man or something, you know, a flying trapeze." And they will say, "Behold!" And the moment they will say that, everyone, you cast their attention. What? Okay, stop eating the popcorn, man. Let's look and see what's going on. Behold, and maintain and retain, and to fix our eyes upon, to present to you your son, is to see with so much remarkability of this new son that Jesus was committing to his mother. Jesus was caring for his mother, and he was telling that, "I am going away, but behold, now you will have a new son." It's not just any of my disciples. It's the disciple that I beloved most of all. And he told his disciple, "Behold your mother," in the same way. Jesus would not leave his mother alone. Even at the end of his life, he knew he was hanging on the cross. Hanging in a torturous position on the cross, people will most probably be thinking about their own suffering. To have Jesus at that position, to consider his mother, revealed his love and his respect for this woman of his life. Jesus was grateful for his mother, who not only had raised him up, but had traveled with him in his ministries and had believed in him all these years. One of the New Testament scholars, biblical scholars, wrote this. He says that when Jesus mentioned the mother first, "Woman, behold your son," instead of "John, behold your mother first." So in this manner of a position or flow, James Boyce, this New Testament biblical scholar, says that Jesus was not commending John to the mother, but rather Mary, the mother, to John. In other words, his first priority right here, the higher priority, is his mother. It's not about, "My disciple, I've got a new task for you, okay? I want you to take care of my mom." It's not that. It's about, "Mother, I love you. And here I have someone to take care of you," not the other way around. It was a presentation to care for his mother. Now my question for us is, would we present ourselves in this manner to our own mothers with all? When our mothers is to look upon us, would they see us and say, "Behold, this is my son. I'm so proud of him." Will we even look upon our mothers and say, "Behold, this is the mother whom I love because she has raised me up"? Jesus did that. He knew that he could not be there physically for Mary, but yet, with his words, he commended his mother to being well taken care of after his departure. Jesus ensured his mother's well-being, even when he could not be there anymore. Now, we may not leave this world before our parents, but how have we been grateful to them for all that they have given to us? In fact, some of us, or many of us, may not like to talk about death. I remember when I was, years ago, I was talking to my mom about death. My mom being the older generation, right, we say, toy, don't talk about death, I don't know, all these things. Huh? But sometimes we just need to talk to them and say, "Mother, if things like this happen, what are we going to do?" And Jesus' example for us show us that we can make plans for our mothers, or even for our parents, to care for them in the event should we depart earlier than them. perhaps writing them something, or even leaving them with some of life possessions, or honoring them in some ways, that will be something that will allow us to appreciate our mothers. But more than that, why wait till death do us part? How are we even caring for our mothers when they and us are alive? Jesus cared for his mother till the very, very end. In following Christ, to be Christ-like, let us care and appreciate our mothers now, at this point of our lives. Let us go home and present ourselves in such a way as, "Mother, behold, I am your child who is grateful to you. Mother, behold, you are my mother." And I say it with all and honor. So in closing, as we look at these three passages that we've read, we see that Jesus obeyed and honored his mother as a child, as an adult, and even at the point of death. We see also that as a boy, Jesus was submissive to his mother. Young children among us, teenagers even, may we learn to be submissive to this earthly authority over us in our mothers. As a young adult, Jesus spent time with and listened to his mother. As grown-ups, as adults, may we continue to honor our mother by listening to her requests for help. May we see our mothers as ministry and invite her to come alongside as we serve, or even to serve her. At death, Jesus was grateful to his mother and ensured her well-being. As we consider our own mortality, may we appreciate our mother while we still can. May we make plans to take care of her, be it through tangible means or simply by bringing our mothers to Christ. Jesus obeyed and honored his mother throughout his life. Let us learn to do so as well. I end today's sermon with some reflection questions that you can ponder about. How is your relationship with your mother today? Let's take some time to think about this. Let us also ask God how we can honor our mothers. Finally, do something that honors your mother this week. If you are a father, do something with your child and honor your wife, the mother of your child, this Mother's Day. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that God, you have set a mother over each and every one of us, that we are all born of a mother, and through our mother we come into this world and we come to know you and come to be who we are. No mothers are perfect, but mothers are definitely sent by you. Just in the same way that you nurture and you love and you bring us to life, in the same way you set our mothers, that they will be that earthly connection for us to bring us to be the men and women in society today. We ask, O God, that we learn to obey, to honor, and to appreciate our mothers. We pray, O God, that we learn to give thanks to you and to follow Jesus' example in how he treated his mother, that we too can look at our mothers with thankfulness and gratitude in our hearts, that truly we can say to our mother, "Behold, we are your children. "Behold, you are our mother." We thank you, God, for blessing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.